Good morning. My name is Lainey Murphy, and I welcome you all to worship this morning. Today's reading is from Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 to 33. Immediately, he made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead to the other side, while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up to the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But by this time, the boat, battered by the waves, was far from the land, for the wind was against them. And early in the morning, he came walking toward them on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, "It is a ghost," and they cried out in fear. But immediately, Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid." Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened. And beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." The word of God for the people of God.
We bow with me for a moment, please. Gracious and holy God, we are grateful for this chance to share together. We have paused in the middle of all of the things that we have to do because we need to hear a word from you. And so we humbly ask, dear Holy Spirit, once again, please pour yourself out on us. Take the words of the scripture, the thoughts of each of our hearts, and the humble words that I will offer, and inspire them. Breathe life into them. Make them come alive for us, so that in them we might hear the word of God, the word made flesh, Jesus Christ, our Lord, in whose name we pray. Amen. So our scripture today is from Matthew 14. We've been working our way through this middle part of the gospel, and we pick up where we left off last week. Now this is one of those really, really familiar passages of scripture. This is a story that even folk who don't know scripture have probably heard about. You know, we even tell jokes about it. You may have heard this one. There was a priest, a rabbi, and a Lutheran pastor who were all friends. And as sometimes happens, there was a new United Methodist pastor in town. And so the three friends decided that they would invite their new colleague to come and join them as they're fishing. And so they were out in the boat. And the rabbi said, "Oh, I'm not really happy. This lure isn't working. I'm going to go get another one." And so he got out of the boat and walked to the shore. And the United Methodist pastor is just going, "What?" And they were there just a little bit more. And the priest said, "I think I need to get some water. I left my thermos back on the shore." And he got out of the boat and walked towards the shore. And the Lutheran pastor went, "That sounds like a good idea." And she got up out of the boat and walked to the shore, leaving the United Methodist pastor there alone in the boat, amazed that his new colleagues had just walked to the shore. And so he determined that if they had that kind of faith, that he would show that he had great faith also. And so after having prayed, he got out of the boat and immediately started to sink and floundered. And the three friends were on the shore, and the Lutheran pastor looked to her friends and said, "Do you think we ought to tell him where the rocks are?" It's a familiar passage. We know how it goes. Jesus walks on the water in the middle of a storm. Then Jesus calls Peter out to walk across the water. Peter gets distracted by the wind and the rain and starts to sink and calls out, and Jesus reaches down and pulls him out and says, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" We know this passage. And when we come to look at the scripture, and particularly scripture that we're really familiar with, I find that it can be really helpful for us to begin to look at the text and start to ask some questions about what we see there, as a way to create spaces for the Holy Spirit to show us something new in this text. So would invite you to join me this morning as we just ask a couple questions about this text as we find it, and see what the Holy Spirit would raise up in our hearts and bring to our minds as we look together at this text. So it starts out, the scripture says, immediately he made the disciples go into the boat and go ahead to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And this just reminds us that where we pick this up at the end of this of the scripture that we looked at last week, where Jesus had fed 5,000 men and women and children in addition to that with 5 loaves and 2 fish. An amazing miracle that expressed God's generosity and completely, completely surprised the disciples. That Jesus had ended up in that place because he had gotten news that John the Baptist had been executed by Herod. And so his grief for his cousin and for his potentially his mentor, Jesus went into that deserted place, and so they're still there. And so why does Jesus send the disciples into the boat? Well, because he still needs to pray. He still needs to process his guilt. His grief. He still needs to think about all of those things. He needs to work on it. He needs to be in the presence of God in prayer. And so he sends the disciples across in the boat and dismisses the crowd, finally sending them home. And after he did, he went up on the mountain and he finally got his moment to be alone with God in prayer. Finally got his moment to go up on the mountain. Up on the mountain where God so often revealed himself. Jesus got a chance to go up on the mountain and to be again in the presence of God. And so as Jesus prayed most of the night, early in the morning, from the text, we would guess that we're probably talking about 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. Jesus is going to meet up with the disciples again. And there's been a storm on the sea, not an unusual thing. Jesus had the people sit down in the green grass, so it's probably springtime. And so that there's a storm on the sea is not a surprise. It wouldn't have been a surprise to Jesus. It wouldn't have been a surprise to the disciples. And yet this storm seemed to be all they could handle. And you wonder if part of what's going through their mind is, We wanted to send the crowd away because we couldn't feed them. And Jesus told us, no, you do it. Are we in trouble? Has Jesus sent us away because we got it wrong about the crowd? Are we in the middle of this storm because we didn't get that right? You can imagine that might be going through their minds. And then suddenly they see Jesus walking towards them. And they're sure that they have no idea who this is. And since outside of bad preacher jokes, people don't typically walk on the water, they're sure it's a ghost. Once again, Jesus immediately reaches out to calm their fears. Don't be afraid, it's me. And then we come to that iconic moment in this story where Jesus calls Peter to come out. But wait, we should stop a minute and ask, but whose idea is it for Peter to get out of the boat? Whose idea is that? We've heard lots of sermons on this text. I've preached lots of sermons on this text. Preachers who are way better and more famous than I am have preached a lot of sermons on the text about how Peter expresses his faith in getting out of the boat in response to Jesus' call. But is that really what happens here? If we look at the scripture, what it says is that Jesus says, don't be afraid, I'm here. And Peter's response is, Lord, if it really is you, call me to walk to you. Peter says, Lord, if it's really you, if you're the one who's really out there, call me to come to you. And so Jesus simply says, come. And so Peter climbs out of the boat and starts to head to Jesus. And then, unsurprisingly, Peter notices what he's in the middle of. He notices that he'd been focused entirely on, I have to find out if this is Jesus. He's been entirely focused on, I have to get into the presence of Jesus. And then suddenly notices the winds, the waves, and begins to sink. And he calls out, Jesus, save. And Jesus reaches out and grabs him. And then says, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? Which brings us to another question. How much faith is enough? When we hear that, we typically think, well, what Jesus is saying is, Peter, if you only had more faith, you'd have been okay. You clearly had some faith, but if you just had a little bit more, you'd have been good. And when we think about the things that happen to us in our lives, we use that same logic, right? When something happens to us and we look back and go, oh, if I'd have just had a little more faith, I'd have been all right. It'd have been good. Things would have been gone differently. I just needed a little bit more. And when we think about the stories like the ones we shared with the kids today, We think in terms of faith comes in trainloads for us to be really able to do anything. For God to really be able to work through us, we have to have faith in trainloads. Later on in this gospel, Jesus is going to look at the disciples and say, if you have faith like a mustard seed. Jesus has already said the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. It starts out wee teeny tiny and grows into something else. So maybe the question, how much faith, isn't as helpful. And maybe the question that we ought to ask is, what is faith? What is faith? Now, one of the go-to places for that answer is Hebrews 11:1, where it says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the convictions of things not seen. So faith is that ability for us to trust that things that we know about God are true, whether we can see them or not. That things we know about God are true, even if we haven't experienced it yet. But I'd like to pose another answer to that question. What is faith? Faith is trusting God in this moment. Trusting God in this moment. Because if we're able to trust God in this moment, it doesn't take a trainload of faith. It just takes a bit. Right? If we can trust God in this moment, in this decision, in this situation, if we can trust God in this. Now, we have to be careful that we're not trusting God for things that God hasn't promised us. But that if we trust that God is who God has revealed himself to be in Jesus, if we trust that God will do what God has said, we only have to trust in this moment. Just right now. And if we do that, whether we have trainloads of faith or just a little bit, it'll be enough. I think Jesus wasn't berating Peter. Oh, if he had just had a little more faith. I think Jesus was coaching Peter. You have faith. You have faith, so count on it. Whatever your moment is, whatever you're up against, whatever the challenges are, just in this moment. Don't worry about down the road. Don't worry about what happened before. But in this moment, trust God. Just right now. And that's all you need. Why did you doubt? You have faith. It's only not enough if we don't live into it. O you of little faith. Little faith which can grow into enormous things, which can do incredibly powerful things. O you of little faith. Don't doubt. Don't doubt. Little faith is powerful. It can be fragile, and often is, as Peter reminds us. But little faith is the seed that grows into God being able to do amazing things in us and through us. So in this moment, trust God. Grace to you.